97.5 The Fanatic.
Rob Body and Joe Stazak taking you till 11 p.m. I want to let you know about this. This looks like a great opportunity. You can win the ultimate Birds fan experience. Two tickets to the Monday night game, December 9th, field passes, and a VIP tour of the ESPN broadcast truck. Eagles safety Rodney McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for the American Association for Cancer Research, the first and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. You can go to 975thefanatic.com/donate. Make a donation to Rodney McLeod's Race to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for this ultimate Birds fan experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you could win exclusively from Eagle Safety, Rodney McLeod, the American Association for Cancer Research, and 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Zach in Richmond. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Zach?
Good evening, guys. How's it going?
How are you, bud?
What's up, Zach?
So I got a few points I just want to make about kind of the offense in general. So if you think about it, you see that the O-line, you got the quarterback, you got five other guys that just want to go on the field. Usually your five best playmakers, right? We've seen them do a lot of 12 personnel. They have two tight ends on the field. You know, with Jackson being hurt, we don't know what he's at. You know, and it seemed like today they're running a little more 22 personnel. They did some last week. They got two running backs on the field, two tight ends, and you get Alshon on the field as well. So that's your five best playmakers. And you can do a lot with that. If you're very flexible, you can line up and, you know, pound the ball. You also can go, you know, empty and run a bunch of different stuff out of that. So I think if the offense kind of does a little bit more transition into that, you know, it makes them a lot more dynamic, and it makes the defense have to plan for a lot of different things. And I think that's something that it seemed like Doug played with a little bit last week, and it seemed like we saw a little bit more of that today. I think going forward, you know, that's going to be the best way for them to keep defenses on their toes and be more dynamic in both the passing and the run game.
I agree with you that they should certainly look at different variations of their personnel, how they can utilize both backs at the same time, how they can keep defenses off balance, how they can go away from being pass first and pass heavy with these wide receivers. I do think, Zach, they don't have enough talent right now to be a Super Bowl champion, but you have enough talent to win the division, and you have enough talent to where if you get into playoffs as a division champion, things go right and you play your game, you can advance. I don't know how far they can advance like that, but if you use the weapons that you have properly and to the best of their to the team's strengths, I think you could win.
Yeah, exactly, and that's kind of what I'm getting at, was kind of getting as many of the best playmakers on the field as possible.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it, you got, you know, Goddard and Ertz, besides Alshon, are your two best receiving options.
I put them ahead of Alshon right now, to be honest.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think, well, like, in that category, that's your two, there are three top guys, and, yeah, you know, if you get them all on the field at the same time, you know, your defense aren't going to know what to do, because, you know, as long as, like, today you saw them going up-tempo, and, you know, you can't make any substitutions, they can go from, you're running like an offset eye, a single back, the two tight ends lining up in line, or split them all out, and they got to keep the same personnel group. So I like the up-tempo move, and I think when Carson's playing with that type of up-tempo offense, he has a little more confidence. And I think he gets in more rhythm that way, too, and I think it helps both the run and the pass game. And I think, like you're saying, going forward, if they do that, they're going to be a lot more dynamic, and they're going to have an opportunity to win the division and move forward as far as possible by utilizing what they have at those positions.
Agreed, Zach.
You're right, Zach, about the tempo. Carson Wentz is much more dynamic when they play tempo.
Yeah, I agree. Good stuff, Zach. Appreciate that. It looked like when they did that early, Joe, they started out that way, and they had more of a rhythm.
It's a rhythmic type of style, going tempo.
And I like the way they just couldn't finish drives, both the first and the second one. They just couldn't finish them, but they were moving the ball effectively. And you brought this up earlier. This was a good defense. They played the number five defense, a team that doesn't give up a lot of points, a team that has a guy in Khalil Mack who is a game wrecker. He could absolutely take over a game and win the game by just causing either turnovers, turning field position around, setting his team up for a short field, and that's how they win with a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, who is not, at this point, certainly looks like a mistake of a draft pick at number two when you had Mahomes and Deshaun Watson on the board. And the Eagles held Khalil Mack in check. Four tackles, two tackles, two of those were for a loss. He did have one knockdown.
He had a batted down ball.
And I think he had one hit on the quarterback. Other than that, he was pretty quiet.
They rendered him human today because he is a game changer. Like you said, he can take over a game. He's one of those, you know, game changers that just, you know, he wreaks havoc wherever he is.
And with the matchup with Andre Dillard, and you know, they move him around a lot. So I don't know the breakdown. I wasn't watching from the press box that closely to see how many times he was on Dillard, how many times he moved around, where he was coming in from. But it had the potential to be an issue. But Andre Dillard held his own. They did get four sacks, though. There were four sacks. Out of Khalil Mack. There were four. It looked like the pocket collapsed a couple times up the middle.
Yes, it did.
I don't know. I don't remember any of those sacks being one where sometimes we go, Carson held the ball
too long. I thought one of them he held it a little too long.
There was the one where he got hit from behind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that may have been the one where you can just get rid of it. Hit somebody in the feet. Don't get sacked. Don't take the loss. Live for another down. But other than that, he was 26-39. There was a couple passes that he missed, a couple passes that he said, I certainly wish I had those back. Plays that I left out on the field. Bunch of drops again. Bunch of drops. Nelson Aguilar on the one deep ball. Wasn't a drop. But it looked like as soon as he saw the defender, he ran straight toward the defender as opposed to looking to make a play on the football. And at this point with Nelson Aguilar, I don't know that this is just what you're going to get out of him.
It is, unfortunately.
Forget about 2017,
he
Nelson
peaked
Aguilar.
In 2017, he
right?
peaked.
That was the 1 year where he did, and these five that he's been here. That was the only year where you could say, all right, he did the job. He didn't even.
I thought
look
he turned
like,
his program around, but he's kind of back to where he was.
Yeah, and Alshon. A combination of probably playing hurt a little bit, getting up there.
Wanted to strangle him on those two drops on third down.
The one where he, and give him credit, because the question asked was, you made a big play there on third down, and he turned the question around into, yeah, but I dropped one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I give him credit for at least acknowledging it. He's like, I look more at the one I dropped.
I respect that.
The one he dropped, he said he was trying to catch the ball and turn upfield and took his eyes off of it. I thought he saw the hit coming.
He had no room to turn it up.
No, right? It was in traffic.
Both of them were, absolutely.
Somewhat, but I mean, they're clear drops.
It's clear drops.
Right? I don't know what you're going to get out of Alshon other than this is what you have right now. This is what you have right now. And, hey, you got two tight ends who are matchup nightmares when they are allowed to get in space, when they're allowed to get single coverage at any time, depending on who they're matching up with. Utilize those guys. I was referring to Miles Sanders when you have him in space. You get Miles Sanders in space, man. That guy could be. And there was the four third down conversions. One of them, third and 12. Little screen pass to Miles Sanders.
Little screen
pass. 15
yards. He avoided the blitzer. Yeah. And Carson picked it up right away.
Yeah.
Right away. Made
He's
a nice
really
pass.
Good against the blitz.
Really good.
Better against the blitz than straight up base coverage.
That was impressive.
And then the third and 9 to Goddard. Another screen pass turned into
impressive.
16 yards.
Yep.
The toughest part of that was trying to find a lane to throw the ball to Goddard because he had guys everywhere. He threw that ball. He was basically facing him. He looked like he was sideways throwing that pass to Goddard, and he got it to him. Let's hit Tony on a cell. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Tony? Tony,
you there, bro?
Oh, Tony's gone.
Tony.
Some numbers. Some of these post-game notes that the Eagles send out. Doug Peterson is now 38-24, including playoffs. 613 winning percentage. Did you know that?
I'll take the
highest winning percentage in franchise history for head coach.
I'll take it.
Eagles are now 4-0 in the games before the bye under Doug Peterson. So they're 4-0 before the bye. Now I want to know what they are after the bye. Got to look that one up. Last year after the bye, they faced, in 17 they won, because we know that. They didn't lose till, but last year it was Jacksonville.
In London.
Then they had the bye. So in 2017 they won. In 2016 they lost, because they started out 3-0.
Yeah.
Had the bye, came back, lost to
Detroit.
The Lions. So it depends on what they did last year after Jacksonville. I kind of feel like they lost that game, but I'll look that up. Eagles also 23-7 at home under Doug Peterson. It's a good number.
Very good number.
The Patriots in Seattle coming here. Carson 18-6 at home.
Yeah, he struggles on the road, but he's very good at home.
18-6 at home. Nice to see Zach Ertz today.
Big game.
9 for 103
Big
and a
game.
Touchdown.
Yeah, he's fired up, too.
You need to, I don't care what you have to do to make Zach Ertz a big part of this offense, but you're going to need to. And sometimes, you know what, I get people who criticize Zach Ertz for he falls down. He made one play today, yards after the catch.
Well,
yeah, two
big
of them,
play.
I think.
Yeah,
one
did.
Was a touchdown.
Right.
And then another one. So nine catches on 11 targets for 103.
That's big time.
Dallas Goedert was the second highest receiver, 4 for 39. That's what you're going to have to do week in and week out. Use those tight ends.
Got to. Where else are you going?
You look at Alshon, 4 out of 8. He caught, and Miles Sanders 3 for 3, 31 yards. Nelson Aguilar targeted 8 times.
Wow.
Caught 3 passes.
Wow.
Matt Hollins, no targets.
Why is he on this team?
He blocks.
Special teams?
That's about it. He blocks in special teams.
Nice draft pick.
That's a guy where you don't even go into a week game planning. You don't even count on him. Like, you don't. I can't imagine that Doug Peterson would sit there and design a play and go,
it wasn't targeted.
Matt Collins is good. Well, actually, Joe, he was.
Was he?
But it was penalty on 4th and 1.
Okay.
Remember that 4th and 1
yes.
play?
Yes.
The 4th and 1 play, deep ball, or it looked like the sideline route to Matt Collins.
Right.
And that was the late hit on Carson Wentz.
That's right. That was huge, by the way. That ended up resulting in a touchdown
drive. That was a touchdown drive, right?
It was huge.
Yeah, and imagine saving a 4th and 1.
For Mac Hollins.
I thought the play calling on that one was outrageous. I don't know that he could have been the number one, the primary on that.
Number one read. If doubt, when is he ever the number
right?
one read?
That had to be Carson went through the progressions and
saw him.
Saw Mac Hollins and somehow wanted it to go give him an opportunity, but on the stat sheet, because that was wiped out by penalty, he didn't have a target.
How did Arthega Whiteside do? How many snaps do you know?
I don't have that yet. I did see him get a couple when Alshon came out, though. He goes into Alshon's spot. And when Jeffrey came out, one time he went in the tent, he got looked at, went back in the game for a handful of snaps. He was out there. I didn't see him do anything.
Has he ever?
This is true. He's no DK man. DK right. Metcalf, man.
Or Josh Gordon.
You look at that and you go, Seattle's probably, I'm not sure when they're going to debut their new weapon, but next week, who do they have next week?
Does it even matter with Russell Wilson slinging 5 touchdown passes today?
He's got to be the favorite right now, right?
For the MVP.
Seattle plays against San Fran next week on a Monday in San Fran. Then the following week, they play, they're on a bye. So the Eagles get Seattle
on
off
a bye.
Bye. So the next two games, the Eagles get the Patriots off a bye and Seattle off a bye.
Woo.
So, yeah,
nice,
you have
nice
the
scheduling.
Eagles. The Eagles have a bye, but so does New England. So you don't even catch a break. Your bye game is against a team coming off a bye, and now you're going to also face the Seattle Seahawks here coming off a bye. After that, it's Miami, who got their first win today. Dolphins beat the Jets. Does that make the Jets the worst team in football? Well, the Bengals.
Bengals.
Are. Bengals are.
Bengals. But yeah, Fitzmagic, 3 touchdown passes, no picks.
How about that?
They're improving every week. They're not the laughingstock anymore. I mean, they're terrible, but they're better than they were at the beginning.
They did
of the
play
season.
Better last week.
Yes, they did.
What do you make of Kansas City beating Minnesota without Patrick Mahomes, with Matt Moore at their quarterback position over Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota
Cousins had a nice
Vikings.
Game. Yeah, I thought it was gutsy win. Let's call it that. And I think Andy Reid is a guy who can incorporate.
He's very
creative
win with
play calling. Yes, he's very good with the quarterbacks. And Matt Moore's not a bad quarterback. And they kicked a field goal with the at the gun to win it. Good game, by the way. Good game. I only saw highlights, but
Harrison Butker had a 54-yard field goal to tie it. Then he kicked another one to win it.
44.
Moore was 25 of 35, 275, one touchdown. Kirk Cousins, only 19 of 38.
Right,
but he had 220, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Take that. Cook, 71 yards. What's Stephon Diggs, only one catch for four yards?
What?
Adam Thielen, no catches. Did Thielen get hurt?
He's going to go AWOL again.
He had to get hurt. He was only targeted once.
Yeah, that sounds like an injury.
And Jacoby Brissett went down.
Yep.
We'll see how Frank Reich can...
Pittsburgh won that game.
Yeah, Pittsburgh won that game. Brissett went down. Brian Hoyer. Man, you look around some of these quarterbacks. Allen out there in Denver today. You got Moore in Kansas City. Gardner Minshew kind of came back to life a little bit now.
They got walloped.
Now they have a bye, and Nick Foles coming back off after that. I think he's going to be eligible to play, and probably if Gardner Minshew would have pulled off a win today in London against Houston, played well, maybe there could have been some kind of controversy.
Not anymore.
The way he played today.
Not anymore.
They're going to go straight to, yeah, and you have to after you paid Nick Foles all that money.
$50 million guaranteed.
Lamar in Philly, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Lamar?
Yo, what's up, Joe? How you guys doing today?
Hey, Lamar.
Awesome, bud.
Quick question, man. I feel like I listen to the radio. I call quite a few times a week with opinions, and I feel like a lot of times, man, whenever you criticize Ben Simmons or Carson Wentz, this whole radio station just goes crazy. It's like all you have to do to get hung up on is mention things that you guys just mentioned. I called earlier and I mentioned holding on to the ball in the pocket. Or Carson Wentz, either get rid of the ball or get out of the pocket.
I didn't see. We mentioned that because we said we didn't really see that today. Maybe one time.
Well, to me, I seen it at least once or twice. Me and my friends watch the game just like you guys. We text back and forth. Hey, he got to get rid of the ball there. It seems like a lot of times that just happens. And just as well as guys drop balls, he misses passes. So to me, it seems like he just got a team here that can beat average or mediocre teams, and next week you'll see a total different team out there. Whenever you got a quarterback or somebody that basically comes to play, you just see something totally different. So to me, I like to criticize him, but give him credit when credit is due. All the thing I've seen him do so far this year, and for most of his career, is beat bad teams.
The Green Bay Packers.
They beat the Pack on the road. Pretty good team. Yeah. They beat a 5-1 Bills team, although I didn't think they were that good.
Okay, in my opinion, I think they did a good job beating the Packers, but that game also ain't who they are. They're not a team that's going to continue to run the ball. Now, they have had success, which I wish they would do more of it. But they're a team that think that they got Brett Favre back here. And at the end of the day,
he's got a better touchdown to interception ratio than Brett Favre.
That's tremendous. Favre's a walking turnover.
Brett Favre would turn the ball over 23 times in six games. He didn't care.
Next time out, slam it.
Appreciate the call, Lamar.
Throw it into traffic.
And you know what? And he didn't get the criticism that these guys like Carson Wentz is getting. But Brett Favre would throw he's got more picks than anybody in the history of the NFL. Of course, he played till he was like 100 years old.
Sure,
but Brett Favre was. That's why they called him old gunslinger. So if you want to compare it, I wouldn't say the Eagles think they have a Brett Favre. That's in 24 picks, 29 picks, 22 picks, 23, 14, 13, 16, 23, 23. Man, he threw a lot of picks. Threw a lot of picks. He threw a lot of touchdown passes, too, and a whole lot of yards, 71,000 yards.
Not incredible.
508 touchdowns. But based because of those picks, Brett Favre's his passer rating was 86.
Really?
His career passer rating was 80. Only one time in his career did he have a passer rating in the hundreds. And that was that at 40 years old against Minnesota, with Minnesota. Remember the year he went 12-4 with Minnesota and then threw a pick in the NFC Championship
yeah.
game? That year, he had 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, the best year of his career, 107.2 passer rating. How about that? The best year of his career was at 40 years old.
How about that?
It's almost like Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Huh? How about
or Brady went into a 3 Super Bowl
well,
in his 40s.
Is it Tua in his 40s? Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's 42. Okay, 42. Maybe the,
well,
the
yeah,
one
he won the one. Or no, he probably turned 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had turned 40, then was 41 and lost, then was 42. Yeah, either 2 of 3, either at 40 or 39.
Right,
yeah.
Which is pretty good.
It's incredible.
It's Brady.
We'll see him in a week. Well, 2 weeks. 610-632-0975. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. 975 The Fanatic.
975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8:28, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak till 11 p.m. This is the post game show. Joe, I was at the game in the locker room afterward. The vibe I got was guys were ready for vacation. They were ready to hit the beach, Turks and Caicos, or wherever they were going. I heard Nelson talking about, you're going to find me at a beach. I asked Jalen Mills what he was doing. He's going to Turks, and a bunch of guys getting ready to get on out of here. They get the W. They don't have to report now till next week, so they got the rest of the week off. They're ready to head on out, and they're going to ride into their bye off a 2-game winning streak. They're 5-4. If the Giants can beat the Cowboys at home on Monday Night Football tomorrow, Eagles will have a half-game lead with, of course, the Cowboys got the game. They didn't have their bye yet. The Eagles didn't have their bye, and Cowboys will catch up to them next. So Cowboys got coming up. They got the Giants. Then next week, the Cowboys, while the Eagles are on a bye next week, Dallas is going to be at home against Minnesota on Sunday night. Then when the Eagles play New England, Dallas is at Detroit. After that, you got Dallas is at New England.
Where they play on Thanksgiving?
They play, I believe it's Buffalo.
It's
Dallas,
the 28th.
Dallas is playing Buffalo on Thanksgiving. So Dallas has got some winnable games coming up. They're in New York tomorrow. That is a game where they're 6.5-point favorites. Next week, they're at home against Minnesota. I think Minnesota could give them a tough game, but they're home. They should beat them at home. Then it's Detroit. They should win that one. And then it's not until they face New England where they have a tough game where they won't be the favorite. That will be the next time Dallas isn't the favorite, when they're playing New England. Because Buffalo at home on Thanksgiving, you would think Dallas is the favorite. Then, though, the following week, they play 2 Thursdays in a row, Thanksgiving. And then they play Thursday night on my birthday, actually, at
That's
Chicago.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the date?
December 5th.
All right.
So they're at the Bears. I would still think, depends where the Bears are by then. But Dallas is probably, as of right now, they'd be a favorite in that game. They could very well lose that one. Then they are in green. No, that's Chicago, my bad. Then they're at home against L.A. So they have some tough games, but they're home for them. Like, the Rams is tough and in Dallas. They got the Bills, the winning team, it's in Dallas. Minnesota, it's in Dallas. So they got some tough games, but they're home for them. Eagles are going to have to, for one thing, they absolutely are going to have to beat Dallas in Week 16. But I feel like they're going to have to split these next two and then win out and be 11-5. I thought before if you could win the division at 10-6. But right now, I don't know. I don't see three more losses for the Cowboys on their schedule. So I think they got to go 5-1 the rest of the way. Do you think this team's good enough to do that? 6-1 actually.
6-1 the rest of the way from here.
Yeah.
These two games will dictate what happens to this team because they could run the table after this. I don't know if they're good enough to actually do that because it's the NFL and on a week, it's a week-to-week thing. And I think they could be very capable of throwing out a clunker. They have to win one of the next two games. I thought definitely last week was a must-win, and almost this week was a must-win because if they lost and go 4-5 into New England, very likely they'll lose to New England. Be 4-6, they're done.
I'll tell you what, I usually don't do this, but if had they lost to Chicago today, I would have been, this season's over. I don't care if you run the table. I don't think you could run the table after you lose. If they would have lost this game to the Bears, I probably would have come in here and been like, this is it.
Told my daughter, I was watching the game, I said, if they lose this game, because it got a little hairy, I said, they're done.
Yeah.
They're done.
With what they have coming up, I would have been like, it's all over.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They're still in it. We'll look at it a little bit more closely, the schedule, see if Dallas has three more losses. I really think at this point you got to go 11-5 to win a division. Danny in Burlington, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Danny?
Hey, what's up, Rob? It's funny you were talking about that because I was looking at the schedule myself, and I was looking at the Seattle and the Patriots game as basically losses, and then if they won after that, they'd be 10-6, which. Who knows? But basically today,
would then mean you need Dallas to lose three games and
right.
Yeah, I'm looking. They could, Danny. But they got some. It's favorable for them in that the toughest games on Dallas' schedule are at home, except for the New England game.
Right. So, I mean, they need to, like you just said, they need to win one of these two games. I mean, it would be great if they could beat the Pats. Deshaun Jackson, in my opinion, had a lot to do with that. That's why I really thought their decision to play him was pretty boneheaded because, first of all, the Bears aren't really a superior opponent, number one. Number two, give them two full extra weeks. If you already rested him this long, why are you going to take the chance of him getting hurt again? Now, he wasn't able to play in the Bears game. He's probably going to be the same way coming in today as you'll be for the New England game, where he could have had two full more weeks for the stretch run, which is the most important run against two really big, really good teams coming up. And I just really frustrated me that they decided
100% agree with you, Danny. I Joe agreed too. We don't know why would you risk Deshaun now when you didn't need him against. I would have rather Deshaun been a decoy for a series against New England because maybe then you get a touchdown on that series and you win a game by a point. But if he's going to be a decoy in either one, I would have rather have been the Patriots because that's what he ended up being today. He got one ball thrown at him, pass interference. He got another one. He caught 5 yards. The rest of the series, he couldn't do anything and he was out.
Yeah, and his whole comeback to that was, well, every game is big in the NFL, and if they give me the go-ahead, then I'm going to use them. And I just don't agree with that. Just one more thing, too, about Doug's play calling. Can we just stop with these quick-out wide receiver throws that literally lose yardage every single time he decides to use that play? It was 3rd-and-2 today.
And
on
Sanders,
their,
this one was, too, yeah.
And instead of going Howard up the middle, you do that quick-out throw. I'm just done with that play, man. I wish he would just delete that play from the playbook. I know it's a little bit of a minor gripe, but it's just every single time.
I can't argue with you at all on that one, Danny. Joe, thanks for the call, Danny.
No one picks up the cornerback on that. He sees it all the way and had a straight, clean look at Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
It's not like the guy in between, like a tight end, blocks down on that.
He almost could have picked that because he read it so well.
He read it really well. Got to give him credit. It's good defensive play.
It's good play recognition, but it's also telegraphed a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
When something like that happens. All right, we're going to get some optimism, Joe.
I like that.
We're going to get some optimism.
All
You've
right,
been optimistic about it. I've been trying to be realistic about it, looking at it, more optimistic. It's a win. They're 5-4. They're going into a bye week. They split the next two, run the table. You could win this division. Then you run the football in the playoffs, you win in the playoffs. We'll see what happens. Jimmy in Mount Holly is optimistic, I believe. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, like Joe said earlier, I mean, we won a game. We covered the spread. I mean, it got a little dicey, but I never felt like Chicago was ever going to win the game. But as far as the big picture, fellas, I mean, you fellas are more learned in sports than I am. I mean, even with a healthy DeSean Jackson contributing, it's clear to me that we're on a collision course for a New Orleans-San Francisco NFC title game. Anything can happen. I mean, let's win the division. Let's win a home playoff game. And maybe the Niners will be nervous because they're a little inexperienced. I mean, so I'm hopeful. But, I mean, do you agree? I mean, it's really looking like New Orleans versus San Francisco in the NFC championship.
Yes, I saw Seattle in that mix too, Jimmy.
Seattle could be a problem. But you're right. I think the two best teams in the NFC are New Orleans and San Francisco. San Francisco's lights out this year.
Because they run the football.
They run the football. And Jimmy G, when he's slinging it, I mean, four touchdowns the other night.
Now, if I was going to be negative, I mean, just for the sake of discussion here, I mean, you fellas did see what DK Metcalf did again.
Yes.
I mean, if I was Jeffrey Lurie, I would take all drafting duties away from Roseman. I mean, that's not his lane. Let him be a money management guy, which he's, I mean, maybe the best in the NFL at. The guy cannot draft. I mean, anybody can say stuff after the fact. I was clamoring for TK Metcalf, but before we drafted JJ Arcega, slow side the bust. I mean, we could have had Metcalf. I mean, six catches, 123 yards. That's over 20 yards a catch, a touchdown. I mean, and he's done, this isn't like any breakout game for him. He's played well all year. Then we could have had McLaurin. We could have had Paris Campbell. I mean,
Five touchdowns on the year for DK Metcalf. He's got more touchdown catches than JJ's got catches.
And Rob, you said something earlier. Before we go, Joe, maybe off the air, you can tell him about my little acronym yesterday.
Yes, very impressive. He was. He taught us a little bit about, well, I'll tell you in the break.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, Rob, you said something earlier that I agree with. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see any more of DeSean the rest of the year, and that is bad. I mean,
it is.
Even with that, I think we can win that division. I mean, it's all going to come down to Dallas. That second to the last game. I mean, you know, you win a home playoff game, you go on the road. I mean, you know, these guys know how to win. I mean, Carson will have a win in the playoffs under his belt. I'm not giving up, but I mean, the intellectual side of me, which is very limited, and it only comes out like maybe once a year, I just can't see, barring any catastrophic injury issues, I just can't see past those two teams I mentioned in the conference final.
Jimmy, I like your optimism tonight. Absolutely believe and agree with you that they could win this division, and then anything can happen. That's just, let's see them get there first, and appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Okay, Rob. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Jimmy.
And hey, that's what you're playing for right now. You're playing for the division. I don't think you're going to get a wild card out of the NFC East. You look around, you see all these teams. I know the Packers lost today, but you see the Packers, you see Seattle, and the two teams that Jimmy talked about being at the top with New Orleans and San Francisco. I think I'd be more afraid to go into New Orleans in the playoffs than I would be San Francisco. I would be more afraid to go into Lambeau in the playoffs or Seattle. As far as on the road, those four teams, I would probably put San Francisco as the fourth most fearful place to play a road game in the playoffs. But like, they're a darn good football team right now.
A very good football team. Really good football team.
And it's a very tough conference in the NFC. Your road to the playoffs, your road's going to have to be win a division, get a home game, and go from there. And to do that, hey, you got to find a way to win one of these next two games. You got to win one of these next two games. We'll look at the schedules. We'll break down who they have coming up, who Dallas is facing, what the possibilities are, and all of that stuff. 610-632-0975. How are you feeling after this Eagles win, heading into the bye? They're 5-4. Brian and Drew, hang on. We'll get to you next. You could be in after them. Joe Stazak, Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, 45, 97.5 The Fanatic, Rob Motti, Joe Stazak, taking you till 11 p.m. Eagles beat the Bears. They're 5-4. They're flying into their bye week, getting ready to fly off to catch some sunshine wherever it is that they want to go to. Joe, you got the acronym that Jimmy from Mount Holly wanted to talk about. And you and I feel differently about the Patriots losing or beating Baltimore going into the bye to come back. So we should have a conversation about that. And but hang on. Let's get to Brian first. He's in Jameson. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Gents, how you doing?
What's up, Brian?
How are you, bud?
Down at the stadium today. Just want to paint a little picture pregame. What a beautiful day for football.
Gorgeous.
Huh?
Gorgeous.
It was a little nip in the air, just bonding with my fellow Eagles fans, and we had a ball, and then we rolled into that stadium. They looked good, those birds. You know, they did what they needed to do. A little troubled about Deshaun, I got to say. You know, when you're up in the seats, you don't know what's going on that much. And I hear now he only played one series and then is out.
Yeah, he went to the locker room after that first series, came back out on the field. Doug Peterson said it was precautionary, but he did say he's going to have more tests this week. And the fact that he's having more tests this week, to me, is an indication that this could be not only just lingering, but it could be a problem that maybe knocks him out for the season.
Until it gets fixed properly, it's going to be a problem.
You're right. He's exactly right.
Yeah, I tend to agree. This could be it for him. And will they do well without him? You know, definitely established a run game today, and I like how they iced the game in the end. That showed some real character. But do they have the squad to go deeper into the playoffs? I don't know.
They'd have to be very creative to win in the playoffs, and they'd have to play their game. I will say this. The defense is although it's two offenses that don't really scare you, but the defense is starting to come together a little bit, solidified somewhat in that secondary with Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby and now Avante Maddox. Fletcher Cox is starting to look like Fletcher Cox. Brandon Graham's getting – he's got six sacks, Brandon Graham.
Yeah, he does.
I got to be honest. I criticize him almost every week, and
I do
too. He's on pace for 11.
To me, he's the MVP of the defense so far.
And
now,
the defense,
Graham has really stepped up, no doubt.
If they keep this up on defense, Brian, and run the football, that's a formula for success in the NFL. Even in a pass-heavy outfit, pass-heavy league, it really is. So appreciate the call, Brian. I think, Joe, if this team, you look at Baltimore, they win games by playing defense and they run the football.
Run
their
the
quarterback
football
runs
well.
The football.
Yeah, he does.
San Francisco runs the football. The Patriots, whatever they have to do to win.
They're more of a running team this year.
Yeah, dominant defense, run the football. So I think that the Eagles, if they can get away from the philosophy that Doug Peterson came here with, the Andy Reid philosophy, the whole pass, they've been successful when they run the football. This is a year where when you don't have the weapons to catch the ball and you got the weapons to run the football with the offensive line, Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, I think you just utilize that and then look for different mismatches, look for different opportunities, play action, and that's when you throw the ball.
I am glad the light went on and they realized that Jordan Howard is their beast.
Yeah.
The number one guy.
Yeah.
Sanders is number two, not the other way around. And they're starting to feed him like I thought he should have been fed all season. And I'm happy about it because it's working.
There was one play where he could have been stopped for it was only a 2-yard gain. but it would have been a 3-yard loss if he would have went down when he got hammered. And instead of going down, he just bounced off the safety who hit him and kept going forward and got 2 yards. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but it goes from being if it was first and 10, it goes from being second and 13 to second and 8.
Yeah.
It's a big difference, and that's what he does. He's always going forward. I really like this guy.
7 touchdowns so far this year. He's averaged 8 over his first 3 years. 7 so far, 1 through the air in the Green Bay game. But he has a nose for the end zone, too.
He finds it. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, Rob? What's going on, Big Dog?
What's up, Drew?
How you guys doing today, man? Good, man. It was a good win. You know, I know it's a little, unsatisfying.
I thought it was a good win.
Happened.
No, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was a pretty good win.
No. Yeah, it was a good win. I mean, everyone wants to chime in on the wide receiver.
It beats the alternative, right?
Yeah.
It's better than the alternative.
It is better than the alternatives. But just to throw a little math out at you guys with the wide receiver situation, because it is pretty grim. I mean, we had 3 wide receivers catch 62 yards today. And if you minus Jackson and Jeffrey, that leaves just Aguilar with 21 yards. So, I mean, if we're looking forward and with Deshaun, if he's not going to be playing, and who knows with Alshon now, I mean, we're looking pretty thin at that wide receiver position. And I just don't know what would we do in the interim here. I mean, you need someone to throw it at other than running backs and tight ends, I think.
You're absolutely right that they're thin at the wide receiver spot. They're going to have to either Nelson Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey step up their game, both of them. Mac Hollins, I don't think you can count on him in any way, shape, or form. I don't
know. They're not even looking at him.
Completely useless.
He's not even targeted. JJ doesn't even play. The other two guys, at least they get some targets. They're going to have to come down with the receptions, but they got to run the offense through the running backs and through the tight ends, and occasionally somehow hit a deep ball or the threat of a deep ball with a set up by a play action. But other than that, man. It's thin. It's really thin.
Without watching the film today yet, I'm wondering why, because Zach Ertz heading into today was on pace for a 74 catch season, just 42 behind last year, his 116. What did they do differently today where he had 9 catches, 103? Those are the kind of days you need him to have.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know what else scares me, guys, is I'm looking at the standings right now, and I mean, we've got at least 8 or 9 teams that are right there with us there. So, I mean, without winning this division,
There's only one team from the NFC is getting in.
No, Drew. Yeah, they're going to have to
win the division.
Got to win that division. You know why? And that sets us up because perfect segue, Drew. Appreciate it. Because I want to have a good one. I want to talk about that because I said earlier, I think they got to go 11-5. Joe, and it's imperative that you beat Dallas, whether you're 11-5, 10-6. Looking at Dallas' schedule, let me run them down for you. Give me quick WLs, all right? At New York Giants.
Win.
Okay. Minnesota at home.
Loss.
At Detroit.
Loss.
At New England.
Loss.
Whoa. All right, so you got Dallas losing 3 out of the next 4. Buffalo at home.
Detroit's a flip the coin.
Okay. Buffalo at home.
Win.
Chicago on the road.
Win.
At L.A. No, home against the Rams.
I'll give them a W there. They're going to win some games they shouldn't and lose some games they shouldn't.
And then at Eagles has to be a loss.
That's a loss.
And then home against Washington.
Win.
So you got them 9-7,
I think the Eagles end up 9-7.
So then you think the Eagles could win the division at 10-6 or 9-7?
I think the winner is probably going to be at 9-7.
So
winning a tiebreaker.
Your thoughts on your opinion of the Dallas Cowboys isn't quite as high as mine then, because you got them losing 4 more games. You got them losing to the Vikings, Lions, Patriots, and Eagles. 4 more games, which would put them at 9-7.
What do you got, 3?
I'm struggling to find. I think they beat they beat the Giants. They beat Minnesota. And then I go.
See, they're better than Detroit. I'm thinking it's one of those games.
I go at Detroit, at New England, and Buffalo, and at Chicago. I think there's 2 losses in there.
Okay.
Total. And then a loss to the Eagles is 3. So I got them at 10-6. I got them at 10-6. I don't know who they lose the other two to, but they very easily have two losses in there.
Aside from
New England being one of them. So you got one loss is New England, and then the other one. So you look at it like this. They got to lose to the Eagles, and they lose to New England. That's two. That's five losses for the Cowboys. So then all you're asking for the Eagles to go 10-6 to win a division is for the Cowboys to lose one more game, whether it's Minnesota, at Detroit, at Chicago, Rams, and Buffalo home. That's doable.
After head-to-head, what's the next tiebreaker? Wins in the division or wins in the conference?
Division record.
Division record, okay.
Division record, yeah. Then conference, then common opponent.
I think both teams end 9-7, and it's going to come down to a tiebreaker.
Wow.
That's what I think.
9-7 would be a tough, yeah, that's tough. What? You didn't give me the acronym. We'll do that when we come back.
Okay.
610-632-0975. We have some open lines. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.